Yeah, that video was entitled Blessings, and as you watched it, no doubt, it had a little different take on the idea of blessings than what we've actually been talking about, but nonetheless, a very valid take on how God often blesses our lives, especially in the difficult times. Doug touched on that in his communion, and I think that's right, that oftentimes... I think it was C.S. Lewis said how that God whispers to us in our good times, but he shouts to us in our pain. And I think that we are very thankful that is the case. All this does fit together for me as that truth seemed appropriate to what I wanted for us to consider today. And that is thinking about this idea of blessing your church. You know, I think this is relevant in at least two different ways. First of all, during any given week, some of you, sometimes many of you, are facing big, challenging issues. Issues around health, issues around family, issues around work. And with a group of this kind of size, there can be some pretty significant things going on. And as a result, it is appropriate to that, you realize that it becomes an opportunity as a church to stand together. You know, so many people in our world are facing difficult things, and they feel like they have no one with them, that they have to do it by themselves. Well, God's put us together in this place to make sure that that doesn't happen for us. And if it does, something's missing. Something's gotten missed in the process. So we want to understand again that God is putting us together so that we might stand together, encourage each other, and to remind each other in those particularly difficult times of God's presence and care. And to remind each other when the going gets tough, that God's mercies are still new every morning. That his blessings don't stop. And they don't stop just because things are getting tough. As a matter of fact, that's often the threshold through which we must pass to realize some of the greatest blessings God has for us. In essence, then, as a church, we have opportunity to bless each other in times of trial. And again, this is something that we always need to remind ourselves of. In the heart and mind of God, as he called us to be a part of his church, he called us to be together, to belong to each other. We don't come here as just a collection of individuals and come and do our individual spiritual thing in this place. We come together as a body of believers, as a group who have been brought together in this place to belong to each other. We are a community. We are a spiritual family. And the Lord is always seeking to take us further in our understanding of that and even further in our practice of that with each other. That's what it means to be community. That's what it means to be church. And that's one of the basic ways that we practice blessing each other, is to live out and practice those things together in the good and the bad times. Now, given our human nature and that we are all a work in progress, at least I am, I won't speak for you, but I got a hunch that we're all a work in progress. Because of that, there is a flip side to this whole community thing. The more we spend time with each other, the more time that we interact with each other and work alongside each other and share significant moments with each other, the more we do that, the more opportunities we create to misunderstand each other, to get offside with each other, and to see fractures develop in our relationships. Now, that's a reality. When any time a group of people get together because we come from different experiences. We come from, we have different personalities. We have, you know, it's all that mix that brings us together here. You know, we don't lose that. And Jesus is still at work trying to shape all that. But until he gets that fully formed, gets himself fully formed in us, there's always going to be those times of friction, misunderstanding, and so forth. And the question is, how do we respond to those realities in the light of Jesus and what he's doing in our lives? Well, I guess one way to respond is to bless those who annoy you. Now, Jesus didn't include that in the Beatitudes, but if I was making a recommendation, I think that would be right. He did say, bless those who persecute you, but I'd say it'd be just as practical and probably a little more relevant today to say, bless those who annoy you. I think it's really good advice. It's good advice for a whole lot of reasons. First of all, because as you bless someone, as we've been talking about, you're releasing spiritual goodness and transformation in their lives. But you know what? It's hard to be blessing someone and not have your own heart be softened. Something happens in you as you bless even the one that annoys you. That's why Jesus tells, bless those who persecute us. Rather than lashing out in anger and vengeance, bless and don't curse. Because there's something that happens in us. And you realize that, again, that's an act of faith. That's a real act of faith. To turn something that is annoying you or bothering you about someone, to turn it around as a blessing back to them. It's an act of faith that shapes your own heart, and I believe also changes the atmosphere between the two of you. My point is, whether you are responding to a brother or sister in Christ in love and compassion and in their circumstances or out of an annoyance, either way, you have reason today to bless your church. Okay? I don't think I've missed anybody with the things I've been saying so far. And again, my friends, this is not a trivial matter. As we practice this, we are paving the way for renewal in the church. I believe that's why God has told us to step into this way of blessing. I believe it's God's way of saying he has something that he's preparing us for. And we need to be in a place with our own hearts and our own responses to each other that will not hinder what he wants to do in any way. So he's doing a good work in us, teaching us how to live with the differences that we have that are inevitable and to not let those become things that tear us apart, but rather to allow those things to be things that we celebrate the differences that we have, but we also bless. Rather than doing the worldly thing where we say, well, I don't like that person, you know, and just tell them to get lost, we say, that's my brother, that's my sister. We're connected. I cannot just write them off. I cannot just tell them to get lost. I will bless them so that the Lord can do the work in my heart that will allow us to stay connected, even in spite of our differences. You see how God is preparing a people for what he wants to do in this place? Because a people who are not prepared of heart and spirit for revival or in renewal, when it comes, it could tear the place apart because it's so deeply spiritual and powerful in its outworking. As we learn to stand together in our caring as well as our misunderstanding, we create an environment where God is free to work in remarkable ways. Many of you know Psalm 133. It's a powerful statement about what I'm talking about. It begins, how good it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. And there's a promise with that, because it's from there, from that place, that the Lord bestows his blessing. So one of the ways, as we desire God's blessing for Westside, as we think about renewal and what we want God to do in our midst, a key to that is this, that we are blessing each other in such a way that we are building our relationships and not allowing the things that would normally separate us to do that. We overcome in the name of Jesus and in the power of Jesus and in the love of Jesus the things that might normally keep us apart. Here's a challenge I want to throw out to anyone who this applies to. And I don't know who you are. I don't need to know. But here's a challenge. If you are offside with anyone in Westside, I want you to take time and ask the Holy Spirit to help you do what you need to do to fix that breach. This is important. This is important. Vow within yourself that the work of the Lord is not going to be hindered in this place by any stubbornness or unforgiveness on your part. Say, Lord, I am so desirous to see what you want to do in this place that I will overcome my own natural hesitancies. I'll overcome my own natural reserve with your strength. And I want to get in that place, Lord, where the accounts are clean. And you do that. Start that process by blessing that other person or that other family or that other staff member or whoever it might be. Start by blessing them and allow God to begin that shift in your heart. Don't be the bottleneck yourself. Because I ask you, when you think about being offside with someone, which would the Lord prefer for it, which would prefer of you in this circumstance? That you bless, or you do the worldly thing and you curse? Now, I hope that's a no-brainer question for you. Let's move on. I want to try to get, this is intended to be practical this morning. I'm going to assume that the Holy Spirit is already convincing you that it's a good thing to be expressing blessing in the life of another, that there's a rightness about this whole concept of trying to build a culture of blessing here at Westside, and particularly blessing your fellow believers, the church. Now, that's fine, and I hope that that's the case, but I wouldn't be surprised if most want to ask, well, how do I bless someone? What do I say? How do I go about it? You know, what can I, what should I express? What's it safe to express? Well, there's a lot of answers to that, but I'd suggest this, that you go to your New Testament, and as you begin, you take as your model for blessing some of the prayers that are found in the New Testament. I've chosen one today, one text today that is, I believe, can provide a sample or an example of what I'm talking about. It's found in the first chapter of Colossians, and there Paul blesses and prays for the church at Colossae. And I think this provides us with an example of how we at Westside could pray for and bless each other. So first of all, let's read this. It's a portion of Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and then 9 and 12. There we read, Paul begins, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. Now, as we look at those words, just a couple of observations. If you go through your New Testament and see how Paul starts his letters, every letter that he writes to a church begins with that blessing, grace and peace. Every letter, grace and peace. Now, it's interesting. That's not just some sort of thing like, dear sir. That's not some formal way to start a letter. I believe that that's a blessing that Paul is speaking over each church that he is in contact with. Further, as I've kind of reflected on that, I think there in that, those words of grace and peace, there is almost a shorthand of that great blessing of Aaron that we looked at a few weeks ago. Remember that blessing? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Grace and peace. Just a shorthand of Aaron's great blessing, and he speaks it in just that shortened form over the churches. Two, as you think about those two words, they're powerful words. Grace. Now, just a comment about this. Funny, I've just had this discussion over the weekend with Jono and Steph, and they talked about how that, you know, so often in our evangelical culture, we define grace solely as God's unmerited favor. Have we not? And we particularly tie it to our salvation and what Jesus did for us on the cross. Unmerited favor. I don't think that's a new definition to anybody who's been around church for any period of time. But the point is that when you see how grace is used in the New Testament, when you see how that word is employed, it means so much more. And perhaps a better definition of grace would be not just God's unmerited favor, but how about God's empowering presence? Grace is God's empowering presence. And you pray that the Lord be gracious to you. You're praying, may God's empowering presence be at work in your life. When you think of grace in those terms, you see what Paul is blessing the congregations that he speaks to. May God's empowering presence be alive and well and working in your midst. It's not just taking them back to communion. He's taking them into that life that is the life of the kingdom. What a great blessing to pray over others as well. That God's grace, His empowering presence, would fill their life. Anybody could use that prayer and blessing over your life? Grace and peace. The peace of God. That peace that is so deep that it becomes a guard to your heart and mind. You know, what a powerful combination. Grace and peace. Beloved, there's not any situation that you will face that cannot be faced if you possess God's empowering presence as well as His peace. Now, again, peace not as the world gives, but the peace He gives that passes all understanding. You know, no wonder then that Paul blesses each church with these two great realities because they're powerful realities. I had this kind of brought home to me this week. What we've done during the week is, first of all, the blessing that we're praying for community leaders, we've put that in a letter form and said it to our local representatives. I want them to know that we're blessing them. I want them to know that, you know, and I just included with that a note that, you know, this is for you. This is how we appreciate the service that you give, and here's what Westside is praying for you. The other thing was is that on Thursday morning, I had a meeting with the centenary ministers. And I decided, but I'll take along the blessing that we're praying for them. And at the end of our meeting, we always have a time of prayer. And as we got ready to pray, I said, hey, look, I'd like to pray what Westside is praying for you. I'd like to pray it over you as representatives of the church. And so we all bowed together. And I, on your behalf, I blessed them. It was interesting. One of the leaders, after it came to me, said, you know, as you spoke that out, I felt the power of that. This is not a trivial thing that we're doing around here. It's not a trivial thing to bless our community and bless its leaders. And particularly, it's not a trivial thing to bless your church. We are releasing spiritual energy that overcomes so much that works against the things that God wants to work in us. We're tapping into this great river of God. And that theme keeps coming up. This great river of God that comes with all the life of the kingdom. So, you know, we want to bless the church. And I'm calling you to bless your church in various ways. Now, there are several other things that Paul prays for the Colossians. As I look at it, I think all those might be summed up in the phrase, living a life worthy of the Lord. Again, the Lord is continually shaping us as a church. He's continually shaping us as His people. He's shaping us as a colony of heaven on the earth. We now live by the values of the kingdom, not the values of this world. But the values of the kingdom of God are the things that we increasingly wish to embody and witness to in this world. The Lord is calling us to live the reality of the kingdom. To live the realities of healing, reconciliation, personal transformation, of faithfulness, joy. A worthy life expresses all of these traits. So it's no wonder then that when we bless each other, as you bless your church, it is right and good to bless these traits to each other. Okay. Enough talk. I want to lead you in this, and I want to bless you as an example or a model for you. And so I'd like you to get ready to be blessed. I'd like you to get ready to pray and be blessed. Now, you can do this any way you want, okay? I think it'd be great if somehow, if you want to join hands or touch the person beside you, emphasis on appropriately, shoulders, you know, whatever you want to do, okay? If you want to do that. If that's too scary, well, extend your hands in some way to not only receive but also to extend a blessing. You know, perhaps some of you would even feel so bold that you'd want to come down front and kneel. I don't know. But I want to just take a moment and assume whatever position you need to be in to be able to receive and be blessed. Okay? Let's pray together. And as we pray for each other, as you bless your church, start in the right place and start with any repentance that needs to happen. This week, one of the Psalms was Psalm 51, and there we read how the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. and how a broken spirit and a contrite heart the Lord will not despise. If you need to, repent of any cruel words, any angry words, any rash actions, anything that the evil one could potentially use as a curse in someone's life. And think particularly in this, within the fellowship. If you need to, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what or who he might want to put his finger on. And just take a few moments and go through the process of repentance. As you do this, commit yourself to the way of repentance. Perhaps you need to craft a blessing for that person first and foremost. And perhaps you need to keep asking the Holy Spirit, what can you do to overcome anything that might be between you and the person that the Holy Spirit brought to mind? Beloved, this is the way of blessing. This is the way of Jesus. And now, beloved, I bless you. To the people of God who make up the Church of Westside, I bless you. In the grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bless you with all spiritual wisdom and an increasing knowledge of God. And may you, as a result of this knowledge, live a life worthy of the Lord and be pleasing to Him in all your ways. I bless you with the fruitfulness of the kingdom of God. I do so in order that your life and witness might be expressed in good works that honor your Lord. I bless you with the glorious strength of the Lord to fill your life. And in this strength, may you be enabled to live with endurance as well as patience as you face the many challenges of this life. And in that strength, may you clearly discern God's mercies even when they come disguised as hardships. And finally, I bless you with the joy of the Lord. May the joy of the Lord well up in you. May the joy of the Lord fill you even at this moment. And may that joy produce a lightness in your spirit and a gratitude in your heart so that you may celebrate the great inheritance that is yours in Christ. The Lord bless you, my friends. In Jesus' name. Amen.